Ashley? And we want to be able to come together, and we know that the gifts, whatever it is, I love the verse, every good and perfect thing comes down from the Father above. That every gift really has an origin. It has a God who has created it, and his gifts are there for us to flourish. I love the idea of flourishing. We introduced the year on the first Sunday of January with the word flourish, and now we want to just kind of continue and grow that. And we have a flower up there that you can see is already flourishing. And we're looking forward to the kids coming back during the closing song and filling it out a little bit more. But this morning, I want to take a parable that Jesus gave that has to do with a plant and has to do with the flourishing of God's kingdom. God's kingdom being his presence among us, his presence in us individually, and then his presence in us as a church, as a corporate group of people together. So Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, and it's at the back of your programs if you want to follow along. It says, then Jesus said, what is the kingdom of God like? How can I illustrate it? It's like a tiny mustard seed that a man planted in a garden. It grows and becomes a tree, and the birds make its nests in its branches. So I was kind of curious about the mustard seed and what the mustard seed is about. Fun fact on mustard seeds, I found out that Canada and Nepal account for over half the world's production of mustard seeds. Did you know that? So I don't know, sure. Unfortunately, I'm not sure how Nepal is doing in that situation right now. Our prayers go out to that country. But I think I have a couple of pictures up here, do I? There's a field with a mustard seed growing. And, you know, it becomes somewhat of a tree. It's certainly a big flower. Is there another one there? And there's a bird that's nesting in it. And so Jesus is saying, so out of very small beginnings, out of very inauspicious beginnings, something great can happen. And God is among us. And whatever things might look on the surface to be, we know that there's more than we can see. That God is at work. That's an incredible encouragement to us as we follow Jesus, knowing that what is happening in so much of an invisible kind of a way, God's doing something. And I think on a morning like this, we just sit back and we say, God, you're good. Thank you. You are flourishing in my life. You are growing. Something is developing. Your love, your joy, your peace, your patience, your gentleness, everything is growing within me. And I'm just so thankful for that. And as a church, we just want to be here today, too, and say, this is good. What God is doing among us is so good. You know, when you talk about what's small, mustard seeds are talked about as being very, very, very small. And Jesus must have, maybe he was standing next to a mustard seed, you know, mustard bush or something like that at the time. We don't know the exact context, but Jesus was always the master of communication. He'd take a visual illustration, he'd say, now this is like what it's like. So we've got the next best thing here up on the wall. But Jesus was born in very humble circumstances, small, surrounded himself with a few uneducated men, some of them had a shady past. And the whole adventure didn't seem too promising, did it, in the beginning? But here's Jesus in the midst of this, just a rabbi with his disciples, not looking like much in a tiny little corner of the world. And he's saying, the kingdom is going to grow. It's going to be big. It's going to be glorious. And today, as Kevin was mentioning, we're one of many churches around the globe. Christianity is a truly global enterprise, movement. God is doing amazing things in people's lives all over the world. And what we get to celebrate this morning is what he is doing uniquely here at Coast Hills in our presence and among us. God made all creation to flourish. I love the idea of a garden. Jesus said the mustard seed grows up in the garden. God started by creating a garden. And it was good. It was made to flourish. He says, I want all of creation to flourish. It was God's idea and his plan. And then something happens. And we know it's what we can easily focus in on. And that is all the brokenness. All the difficulty. And we know the story. Adam and Eve sinned. And out of that came all this deprivation, death, and a lack of abundance. And it's easy for us to kind of get focused on that and go, oh no, this is all bad. But God says, here's Jesus saying, no, take a look. Open your eyes. See how what God's doing. He is causing good things to happen in your life. And when we sit down and we write these out, and I hope even in the closing song you'll be able to, you know, even as I'm speaking here, I don't mind you doodling and writing it out some more and putting it up there. It helps us to know that, you know what, God, you are doing good things in our lives. You really want me to flourish. And I'm going to pour the energy and the focus and my whole heart into this. And we know that one day we're going to be in a place of absolute flourishing. It starts with a garden at the beginning of the Bible, and it ends in Revelation 21 with the idea of heaven, a place where everything flourishes, where everything is busting out in celebration and joy, where every tear is wiped. And between the first and the last chapter, that's where we live. And Jesus is calling us as Christ followers to say, I want you to focus in on what I can do, what I am doing. Jesus broke the powers of anti-flourishing. He broke them. He came back to life. He went to the cross, to death, and came back to life so that we can be inspired by the most inspirational act of all time to say, God, whatever it is, and yes, there might be some death in my life right now. There's some things that I'm needing to die to. I'm going to lay down my power, and I'm going to live in your power, God. This is what you're doing in my life. We give that up on an individual level, and we give that up as a church as well. We say, you know what? God, I'm going to give up on my individual pursuit, and I'm going to live for you. I'm going to live for others. I'm going to live for your church, for my neighborhood, for my community, for those around me, because I want them to see that no matter what kind of brokenness there is in their lives, God is bringing about something good. He wants us to flourish. It's a powerful concept. It's a powerful idea when we get that idea. It's more than just positive thinking. It's more than just possibility thinking. It's actually a kind of a framework that we put our lives into, and we say, God, you're good. And it's from you. Every good and perfect gift is coming from you, and I want to just pour fire on that and see that go. The powers of hell are against flourishing, but the Bible promises us that the church wins, that the church comes out. I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. That's what we rest on and we stand on. We want to talk a little bit this morning about what we're passionate about, what we love to see God do among us. And I've invited Peter and Kevin to come and to share a little bit of their thoughts, and then I'm going to get up and close things out. So I'm going to invite Peter to come up first.
Thanks, Wayne, for those inspiring words and for the concept of flourishing. God wants Coast Hills to flourish, and I find that to be a very inspiring concept. When I think of flourishing, I think of the verse that's inspired me throughout my ministry, and that is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Let me read those verses on flourishing. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. I'm captured by the thought, glory to him in the church. Sometimes people ask me, well, what were some highlights in your pastoral ministry? And that's how I want to frame my vision for us here at Coast Hills. When people ask me for a highlight in my ministry, you know, there are so many highlights, but it's in this, as I asked myself that question, how have I seen glory in the church? A couple of names came up, and I'm going to tell you two short older stories and two short brand new stories. Also, I can say that some people say, well, how about all the disappointments in church? I can tell you without hesitation that the glorious moments and the blessings far outweigh all those moments of disappointment and bad behavior in the church, which really are fade into, you know, into oblivion when I think of all the blessings. So when someone asks me, what do you think of when you think of glory in the church? Well, first of all, I think of Jill Cavanaugh. Jill Cavanaugh was our oldest son, Peter Jr.'s Sunday school, not a Sunday school teacher, far from it. She was his kindergarten teacher. And if you had asked people that knew Jill Cavanaugh what the likelihood were of her becoming a Christian, they would have said they're zero, you know, pretty much zero. If they would ask what are her chances of becoming a Mennonite in this non-Mennonite community, in the small Mennonite church, Swift Current, Saskatchewan, they would have said absolutely zero. But in God's grace, I can't tell you the full story, but Diane and I had the joy of leading her to faith in Christ and start that journey and discipled her. And when this woman came into church, she was our first non-ethnic convert. And she was kind of vain. She liked her makeup. She liked her jewelry. She liked her clothes. She loved her fur coat. And when she walked into church, I'll tell you, it was hard for her to be inconspicuous in a congregation of 200. But her life was changed. Her marriage was changed. Her whole friendship circle was saturated with this image, this dramatic image of change. She went on to be licensed as a minister and served as an associate pastor. And if Jill comes, she might come to town. If she does, she'd be happy to come up here and have a little conversation. Listen, there's glory in the church when people come to faith in Jesus and when their lives are changed. And we've seen that glory happen among us here at Coast Hills. Second name that comes to mind in glory in the church, his name is John. Swift Current can't tell you the story, but we were part of the MB Church in Swift Current. We had one lot and a nice brick-clad building on there. No off-street parking. Very limited anyway. But through an amazing set of miracles, we came to own 2 acres of prime territory that had been owned for decades by the Mormon Church. And the Mormon Church had agreed that they would never sell that property to another church. And evidently Swift Current wasn't very receptive to the Mormon missionaries. And so the day came, and they sold it, and through a series of very humorous situation, we became owners of that property. And then we wanted to build, and we wanted to build a building that cost $600,000. It was our estimate. We had $400,000 in cash, and we needed a loan, bridging loan from the denomination for $200,000. And we called the denominational executive, Jake Riediger, to come and explain it to us. So he met with us as a board, and so he crunched the numbers. And he says, you know, and we want to amortize that over 10 years. And he said, you know, that's going to be quite a payment every month. It's going to be X number of dollars. Can't remember what the amount was, actually. And nor do I remember what the interest rates were at that time. This was 1975. And then he crunched the numbers. There's your number. Are you sure you can handle this? The chairman of the building committee, in a full-throated voice, said, with ease. Wow. That tingles my spine thinking of with ease. Here's the line. There's glory in the church when the leaders have faith and willing to declare that faith and inspire others with their faith. You know, sure, sometimes you have people who are not fully informed. They have these wild faith ideas. But when you have a fully informed leader, a person who has weight, a key influencer, using his position and declaring his faith, that brings glory to a church. And that leader went on to be a deputy minister in the Saskatchewan legislature. And it was a blessing. By the way, he was prophetic. We borrowed the money. We built the building. And God blessed us. And we had that loan paid off in full in 8 years before the time was due. And the church continued to grow. And it was a happy place. And Ron Keel, Ron Mary Ellen can tell you about part of that story as they were there with us to celebrate. So, yes, there's glory in the church when lives are changed and people come to faith. There's glory in the church when the leaders exercise faith and declare their faith. And we're blessed to have leaders here that have that. Then there's another current story that I want to tell you, and I can't use the name, so let's just call this my prayer story. This week, I don't know how many of us got that text of an urgent call to pray. One of our members was in trouble, was in a dangerous situation, and we were called to pray. We united in prayer. Some of us feared the worst. The next day, the answer comes. God has answered your prayer. He was rescued. He was saved. He was protected. And all is well. There's glory in the church when the people unite together in prayer and celebrate God's answer to prayer. And we want to be men and women of prayer. And you can see how that's special to me. I'm here today because you have prayed for me. And I see it as a miracle that I'm up here. During my journey with cancer treatment from last August, and I didn't think I'd ever be able to be up here again. Wow. And have good news to share with you about my health, but by God's grace, I'm here. And many of you know that in the last 3 weeks, I've got some very good news that my urologist, my oncologist, and the radiologist that read my last MRI, all the three of them agree that what's in your liver, that looks very benign. We don't think you have cancer in your liver anymore. And that is just a crazy. So I don't care whether they got it wrong and it was that I never had it or whether God healed it. I'm just glad that I'm here today. Standing, feeling as good as I have in many years. To God be praised. Thank you. Yes, there's glory in the church when God's people pray and are united in prayer and they celebrate the answer to God's in prayer. One more story. When we prepared for this stewardship month, the month of May, Wayne met with Tim Hilton, and we have a bit of an experiment going here on this whole matching donation thing and identifying the couple. And we don't want to create any barrier between us, and we don't want to violate any of the scriptural teaching. In James, for example, as we come down, it says, you know, be careful how you don't give preferential treatment to the rich. That's coming in the book of James. Well, remember how we defined the rich? We're all rich. And so it's not that we have a class structure here. But anyway, bear with us in the experiment. But Tim met with Wayne and offered to do a matching gift with the church in the month of May. And then it was my privilege to follow up in a meeting with Tim. We're sitting in the restaurant, and Tim was trying to assess his liability. That's the wrong word. He was trying to assess his opportunity that he was creating for himself. And he grabs a paper napkin, and he says, okay, the church gives about $26,000 a month, and if you guys do a good job, he calls us you guys. That's how he refers to us. Pastor, I'm fine with that. If you guys do a good job of promoting it, maybe you can raise another $26,000, and then he puts down $52,000 on his napkin. I'd be on the hook for $52,000. And he's quiet. And I said, are you okay with that? And he says, yes, I am. I will. I can. There's glory in the church when people who have the ability to give a special gift to the church do so. And we can apply that we have to make the application beyond money. And really the stewardship... this stewardship month, money is perhaps a lesser thing than is faith and vision and commitment and courage. Money is a symbol of these things. And so we have this joy to celebrate. There's glory in the church. When people have the ability to give something special to the church, whether it be teaching in kids' in the kids' world up there, what do we call that? Kids' life. I'm far removed from that. But my wife is in there. I should know that. Anyway. glory in the church. When people have something special they can do for the church and they do it. That's when the church flourishes. And each one of us, no doubt, have something special we can do if we're patient. And may we all step forward and give whatever we can. That's what will make the church flourish. Every one of us doing what we can. And so we don't want to create any barrier whatsoever between us and Tim and Chantel. And well, you can talk to them about it and thank them for it. And you don't have to thank them for it. But I hope you won't be afraid of them and avoid them. Because the last thing we want to do is create any awkward moment. No, we're all part of the fellowship. And so Wayne gets honored and I get honored for being up here and saying some special sermon once in a while. And so we can honor one another. That's a scriptural value. I can't go give you all the theological underpinnings, which I would feel would justify this experiment. But God is praised and God is here, and we want to celebrate that. I think my 7 minutes are up.
Love it. It's no problem. That means I have three, Peter, which is good. Because we don't, yeah. Our church is here to help people discover and follow Jesus. One of my roles is working with our youth. And I want to tell you a couple stories. I was going to, RJ was going to be here to be interviewed a little bit, but he wasn't able to make it. But I'm going to talk a little bit about him and kind of what we do at youth. So if we're here to help people discover and follow Jesus, kind of what's happening on Sunday mornings when we have 68 youth, or what's happening on Thursday nights at George Greenaway? Well, youth are discovering and following Jesus, His grace, His love, His calling for them through adult Jesus followers and through other youth that are walking and trying to understand, how do I follow Jesus? Through them, these people that would learn to listen and to love and to pray with them, laugh with them, cry with them, walk alongside them. Students, we want students to belong before they believe. We're worried about the belonging. And we let God, through His Holy Spirit, worry about the believing. And we believe if we are to be Jesus' hands and feet, then people are going to come to understanding what are you? Who are you? Who do you have allegiance with? And so here they get to discover Jesus in the flesh with our leaders that meet with them every week and pray for them. And some of them that take them out for coffee and Boston Pizza and hang out with them. And that they want to care and desire and make Jesus known. One of those people, we've mentioned this here before, would be RJ. So a grade 12 student a year and a half ago that was invited by a friend. And a friend that actually, at the time, going, talking about baptism with him. And he's like, I don't know. I don't want to get baptized. That might change my whole life and whatnot. And, you know, and who was just honestly struggling with his own faith. And what does that mean? But what is he brings a friend. And this friend, RJ, came, was a part of it, and was asking questions. And we were walking with him. And then all of a sudden, it was like a few months later, I'm here, and the young adults were embracing him and come on Sunday and taking him out for lunch and including him. And then I'm sitting here, and I'm serving communion, and RJ walks up and takes communion. I'm like, okay, he's got it, but I'm going to make sure. And so I meet with him and say, "What? Tell me about this." And he explains how, through going the Alpha course, the youth Alpha course, how for him, and the way he thinks, it was just helpful to understand who Jesus was and who Jesus is in his life. And now RJ, what is he doing? Thursday nights, he's a small group leader with a small group of junior high guys that we love him, but the junior high, like, they're woo, like squirrel, let's run after it and do something to it. But he's patient, loving him. And guess what's happened with RJ? Tony Eckert is walking alongside RJ and helping lead RJ and lead these boys. And so Tony's discovering and following Jesus as he's leading RJ. And RJ's understanding more about who Jesus is in his own life as we sing this song, Oceans Deep. Maybe walk, maybe take steps where there are no borders. Would you allow me to move forward in my faith and see God at work? Wonderful thing. And so that is the story of RJ. I just got a text from RJ, perfect timing. and he says, read these two things, please. Coast Hills is important because it gives people a safe place to learn about God and accept him into your life. That's his story. Coast Hills allows me to express my feelings about God in a place where others accept me and support me without hesitation. Wow. That's incredible. And that's a story of your youth and your youth leaders that are loving people in that way. And then, guess what? Just a couple weeks ago, we're at George Greenaway and we're playing these games. And then this young man comes along, and I think he's in grade 6, Amon, and he's just driving his bike. He's like, what are you doing? We're like, playing the game. Come on in. Okay. He's in there, and he just accepted hanging out. The next week, he brings his brother and two friends. And, just who knows what is happening and what's going on. And so would you continue to pray for us that we would continue to that we would explore and understand, discover Jesus ourselves, but we would allow, God would allow us to step out in faith to others that are looking and searching and wanting to experience this grace that is coming to find them.
Thanks, Kevin. I'm going to try this mic again. Maybe not. It's working? Okay, great. I'll finish up with 7 minutes here of my own. And I want to just make 3 points. And it's really underlining what Peter and Kevin have already been talking about and have already shared with you. But a church that flourishes is one that makes connecting to Jesus the first priority. I got to go back to this. Okay. We tried. We want, you know, at the end of the day, Jesus is the center. Jesus is the God of the church. The church is a byproduct of that relationship with Jesus. When we know Jesus, when we love Jesus, we say, you know what, I love his body too. I love his church. I want to be part of it. And it's God's way of expressing all of the glory of who he is. When, as Peter talked about, as Kevin talked about, people step forward and say, you know what, I want to be used by God. And together we spark off of each other. We want to connect with Jesus. And it takes sparking off of each other in order to keep the battery, to keep the charge going in our own lives. That's how God made it. I licensed my motorbike again this last week. And I found, as I do every spring, that I have to recharge the battery. Now, I know there's ways you can, you know, there's proper ways that you're supposed to keep that battery refreshed all through the winter and everything, but I either have to go and buy a new battery or I have to recharge it again. And that's because it hasn't been used. It's just been sitting there. The same thing happens in our lives if we aren't sparking off of God's Word, sparking off the Holy Spirit working in our lives, off of other people around us coming together and saying, okay, let me show you. This is what flourishing means. Let me remind you again. And we here at Coast Hills, that's why we gather. That's why we do these kind of coming together, is so that we can encourage each other to say, you know, Jesus is Lord. He is the center. He is causing all things to flourish, even in the midst of this. We want to give you tools to do that. And we've got devotional books on the table over there. That's one where some of the resources go. As you know, we've just introduced a new video kind of a way of getting in touch with God's Word and growing in Him. And that Right Now Media, you're going to hear more about it in the coming weeks, but hopefully you've gotten an email on that. And if you haven't, you can sign up for that. Just put it on the connection card. Put, here's my email. Sign me up for Right Now Media. It's Netflix for Christians, basically. And it's got all sorts of the kids stuff on there and everything. This is a great way of continuing to connect with Jesus. That's what we want to see happen. And as that happens in our lives, we say, you know what? I want to see others connect with Jesus because I want to see them flourish. My friends, my family, I want to invite them. And we give you mailers and send out these things in order to give you an opportunity to make that connection with others as well. A church that flourishes makes a connection with Jesus. That's the first thing. A church that flourishes is where every person participates. where every person, every member is on a mission. And Peter mentioned that. But that idea that it's not something that is done by paid professionals. The church is about each person saying, I've got a mission. There's something I'm passionate about. And I want to see that just grow. And sometimes others will come around us and say, okay, I'm in with you. Count me in. I'm on this mission with you. As a church, we want to see that kind of bubble up from the ground up. We aren't here saying, now this is the program, now go with it. We want to get in on it with you. I think a great illustration of that is even this last year, Veronica Parkinson, who's a 12-year-old in our church, 12, 13, came up here and shared her TED Talk with us about juice boxes to raise. She gathers boxes and cans and gathers the money together to send to refurbish wheelchairs for people in Central America and Guatemala. And just this last Saturday, I was in the local recycling depot just dropping off my cans and stuff, and I look in the garage door there, and I see a bald head. And I'm going, I think that's Dave Parkinson. And if he was here, I'd have a good chance to rib him about that. He's always giving me a hard time on the ice. And I look over there, and I go, oh, wait a second, that's Dave's whole family. The whole family is in there sorting through literally hundreds of cans, bottles, and juice boxes that they had picked up at the Cloverdale Stampede. At the Cloverdale Stampede, they had gone, and what an incredible thing. There was an incredible amount of money raised. I'm not sure exactly how much. Eight wheelchairs worth was raised. That's awesome. That comes through the vision and a mission of a 12-year-old, a 13-year-old. That is just awesome. It's that kind of thing. And we provide opportunities at Coast Hills. As life groups come together, one of the most profound ways that we can see God bringing each of us on mission together, and it grows out of what happens in relationship. When spiritual relationships develop, together we go, I need to get on that. We need to do that together. The men's group over at the Cloverdale Kitchen is an example of that. The kind of things that we've been seeing with people giving hospitality and grace and gifts and comfort during grief and bereavement recently through life groups is just another powerful way in which we say, you know what, God, you've given me an opportunity to come alongside of somebody else. And oftentimes it's not some big grand mission or vision. It's not something, you know, pie in the sky. It's just the little things of saying, I'm walking alongside of somebody. I'm going to make it a commitment to be at life group each week because I know that I'm going to be there to be able to encourage and lift up another person. Or maybe that's what I'm needing this week. I love what Mother Teresa said. She says, don't look for big things. Just do small things with great love. The smaller the thing, the greater must be our love. That's the kind of perspective that causes the Spirit of God to do things that we can't imagine, that are beyond imagine. That's the glory of the church. We flourish when we care, when every person participates, where every member has a mission. And we flourish as a church when we celebrate together. You know, one of the strong themes throughout Scripture, throughout the life of Jesus, is that celebrating was a way of life for Jesus. In the midst of suffering, and there is an embrace of suffering, there is that sense of, but no, I'm looking forward to something. Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. It's that idea that we celebrate already in anticipation of what God's going to do in us and in eternity forever. The wedding feast is the ultimate example of that. Jesus showing up at a wedding feast and saying, you know what, this is going to go from good to better. And so here at Coast Hills too, when we come together, we intentionally celebrate. Not to say, you know what, there's nothing wrong in life. It's not Pollyanna kind of stuff. It's the kind of stuff that says, in the midst of this, there is still celebration. There is always a reason to celebrate because Jesus is among us. And he's here to help us, give us life, to help us to flourish. So I want to invite the band to come up right now, and we're going to close in a song. And maybe even during this song, or maybe you've had a chance even while we've been speaking, just to fill out some more of these sticky notes. There's something about expressing to God, this is where you're flourishing in my life. This is what I appreciate. This is what the church means to me. This is where I'm growing. We want to invite you to come forward during this song and put up your offering. That is a significant offering up there on the flower there, and then we want to invite you too as we close up. If you'd like to give your May contribution, There's the box on the table in the back, and we want to invite you to finish up the month this way. And as Kevin mentioned, during the lunch, that box is going to be there for maybe another 10, 15 minutes. Then it's going to be taken away. They're going to count it, and we're going to come out with a final figure during lunch of how much we raised this month. So that's going to be a fantastic opportunity to celebrate as well. And so we want to invite you to stay for lunch. Also during lunch, it does happen to be the last day of our fiscal year. It's our very informal annual general meeting. Believe me, all it's going to be is there's going to be an opportunity for ballots on the table. You've had an opportunity to see our budget for next year and hopefully to affirm that, as well as two new elders that we've got in our church, new leadership team members, Debbie Schmidt and Dave Esau, an opportunity to affirm them as well. So that's where we're going to go after this song, and maybe I'll come up and just close it out and pray for the meal that's going to be provided for us by the Bread Garden. So that's a fantastic thing. Jeff Coleman's uncle has provided that for us. So I want to invite you to stand, and we're going to close with this song.